Thank you. Testing, testing, testing.
So good morning, Life Change. How are we all doing today? Did you all have a great week? Was the Lord good to you? That's a better question. Is he always good to us? It's always great to see him working the ways that he works and doing the things that he does. Because we serve a mighty God, a loving God, and our Father really, truly loves us like no one else. So we got a few announcements this morning. First off, we're going to have our Easter program next Sunday. So we're not having potluck, but it'll be even better. So we're going to get spiritually fed like we are every Sunday. And of course, happy Palm Sunday to each and every one of you. Happy Passion Week. Also, another announcement is there is a brochure in the back of the room if you want to pick one up. It's for the National Day of Prayer and the Global Day of Prayer, but also talks about the 50 days of prayer coming up here pretty soon. And there's a prayer guide that's inside of it. Because you can never have too much prayer. There is no such thing. If someone says, no, I don't, you know, don't need prayer. No, yeah, we all need prayer. Some of us more than others. So if you want to pick one up, they're in the back. Other than that, that's it for announcements. This morning, we're going to be praying for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist here in town, Pastor Sterling Hanakahai and his leadership team. And I do apologize to him if he should see this Zoom, because I probably just butchered your name horribly. I ask your forgiveness. Remember, you're a Christian brother. I'm a Christian brother. Forgive each other. Remember, we're to be Christ-like, to walk in love. So if you would, please bow your heads with me and we'll pray. So Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today to just worship you and be with you and praise you and pray to you. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here together. And more importantly, Lord, we thank you for being with us here this morning, because we know that you're always with us. Lord, we know and we thank you for the ways that you have been working in this congregation. And not just this congregation, Lord, but a lot of the others as well. Lord, you are on the move, and we thank you that we actually get to see you move. We get to see you work. We get to see the fruits of your work. And Lord, we even get a benefit from them. We thank you for that. And Lord, we lift up Pastor Sterling this morning to you and Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you've been doing there. Lord, we thank you for being with Pastor Sterling, shepherding his flock, and the works, and leading the flock as you would have them lead to green pastures and still waters, and just feeding that flock with your word. And Lord, we ask you to just please pour out your blessings upon them. Let them come like the rain and just fall and water that place and the people there. And Lord, let it bring forth fruit. And Lord, we pray that same thing for here, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Brad, who shepherds us with your word and feeds us and keeps us well nourished. Lord, we thank you for watching over this place. Lord, we thank you for everyone that you have brought here today. Lord, not only those who come here normally, but all of our visitors today. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, we ask you for an anointing on Pastor Brad this morning. We ask you for an anointing on the worship team this morning. And Lord, we ask you for an anointing on everybody here today, Lord. Let that anointing just light a fire in each of every one of us for you, a fire that can't be put out, a fire that never dies. And Lord, to you We give all glory, honor, and praise. And we give you our faith and our love. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand up and worship the Lord.
Your body broken as you restored to us what sin had stolen. Once and for all, you tore the veil wide open. Your power is stronger still. Oh, praise, oh, praise to the name above.
Hallelujah.
every voice will proclaim, there is no higher name. Alleluia. Age to age we will sing, there is no higher name. Alleluia. Every voice will proclaim, there is no higher name.
Better than you.
there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise He is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, He is stronger, He's the God of possible. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over in your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come believe it. Come receive it. The power of His Spirit is now forever yours. Come believe it, come receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, all things are possible. I pray for your healing, circumstances would change. Pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. Pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. I pray for revival, for restoration of faith. I pray that the dead will come alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do.
Come on.
There is power. Tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable. Break the God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. We know that hope is never lost. Oh, for there is still an empty grave. God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Trust in you, God, you have the final say. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
Thank you.
of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All these saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All these crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Faithfulness. prayers and our praises rise to you like incense on the altar. Help us to walk in that faith that moves mountains, that makes dry bones come to life and raises up armies, that heals and brings back to life, that heals marriages, that heal addictions, that heals hurts and insecurities and offenses. God, thank you, Lord, that we can have authority in Jesus' name over all of these things. And we take that authority, Lord, over every one of us and our families and their families and our loved ones. And we just lift it up to you, Lord, because you are God of the possibilities. You're God of possible. And we praise you and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we lift up Pastor Yu this morning. We thank you for the message you've given him for us. Open our hearts and minds to help us to receive it and put it to use, and let nothing hinder this message from getting to us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. I really appreciate those songs this morning. It's lifted us up to heaven this morning. We will begin by reading Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And Christy, you've got some palm branches. He was zooming. Yeah, we'll wait for them. They don't want to miss out on this. They would rather listen to these ladies than me. Here we go. Come up here, children, just a second. Yeah. Okay. So we're reading out of Matthew chapter 21, and we're reading verses 1 through 11, and it's talking about what happened on a specific Sunday before Jesus' resurrection the following week. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once.' And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.
So as we leave, we're going to say Hosanna. So we're going to leave to the children and say Hosanna. Hosanna!
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna! Fantastic. So I'd like for you to stand. Would you gather hands and pray for one another? If you don't know the person's name that you're holding hands with, now's a great time to figure that out. And you can ask them and pray for them, pray for yourself, that God would speak to you, speak to their hearts, and allow him to have his will and his way in your own personal lives, okay? So I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Praise your holy name. Lord, we've already been blessed by being here today. We've been blessed by the songs that were sung. Some of them were maybe unfamiliar, but Lord, the words were just striking and powerful. And God, we lifted your name up. You said if your name be lifted up, or if you be lifted up, you will draw all men into yourselves. And Lord, that's why we're here today, is to be drawn to you. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to draw to a closer relationship with you. Our desire is to be conformed to your image. Our desire is to love each other more deeply. And God, I pray, you know what is what we need in our heart today. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and way in each of us, myself included. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Thank you for everyone who's come here today. And I just pray that you would touch each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to have each and every one of you today. Some of you I know very well. Some of you I don't know at all. Some of you I know a bit about. If you wouldn't mind taking the communication card that's in front of you on the seat and just fill that out up and drop that in the communication box just in on, so there's a wooden box there called an offering box. Some people asked me the other day, said, why didn't we? I don't know where to put the money because nobody sent around an offering plate. And so there's a big old box there, and if you want to fill it, you're welcome to. So today is Palm Sunday, and it was a day of celebration. It was a day when Jesus came riding on a colt, on the donkey, and I don't know if you've ever ridden a donkey before. I went to a donkey basketball game here few weeks ago, and those donkeys were tame. When I was a teenager, we had a donkey basketball game, but their donkeys were wild. And it was an exciting time, to say the least. Scripture says Jesus rode on a donkey and the colt of a donkey, and I'm assuming this colt had never been ridden before. And it's a miracle that he didn't get bucked off. I mean, little things like that, it's like, man, that just blows me away because I know how donkeys are. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus already had a death sentence upon him. Jesus already knew what was coming up in just a few days. He already knew that. But he also had to, he said, one of the things he had to do was to accomplish, he had to fulfill a prophecy that was spoken by Zechariah hundreds of years before. This is a prophecy. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Hundreds of years before, Zechariah had prophesied this, and Jesus said, there's one more prophecy I've got to fulfill before I face the cross. One more prophecy I've got to fulfill, and that is I'm going to be riding in Jerusalem. Now, how did people know to start shouting and hollering? I'm sure they may have been aware of Zechariah, but they didn't. But it was not like an orchestrated thing. Thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Jews had come to Jerusalem on this particular day for the very purpose of partaking of the Passover. However, they also wanted to see Jesus. And so I'm sure on their way there, if they were like me and you, I'm sure they would have thinking and walking to Jerusalem said, man, I hope I see Jesus. And when they got there, many of them did see Jesus. And when they did, exaltation and honor and praise and glory began to just come forth out of their lungs. To the top of their lungs, they began shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing to me. So what I'm going to do today, it's almost like half of the Gospels are given to Jesus' ministry before the final week. And then the final week, there's like this, just a bunch of stuff that is crammed into this final week of Jesus. So what I'm going to do this morning is we're going to talk about this final week and go day by day. And I'm going to be quick. There's a lot there. Okay? So there is Palm Sunday, then what I like to call Mad Monday. Now, I know I'm going to get some flack for this because as people would say, well, Jesus was never mad. Well, I think he was. I think he got a little upset. I think he got a little torqued because of what was going on in the temple. There were money, and so he went into this temple and he started casting. There was money changers. Let me just tell you what that was. So there were money changers in here, and so everyone who was coming to the Passover would have to bring a lamb or something to sacrifice to the Lord. And it had to be a lamb without blemish, no broken bones, no spot. It had to be prime lamb. And so many people would bring their best lamb, a prime lamb, and the money changers would say, oh, no, that's not good enough. You're going to have to buy this one instead. I'll buy this one for $30 from you, but you'll have to pay $60 for this one. That's going to be good enough to sacrifice to the Lord. And that ticked Jesus off. And this is not the first time he had cast these money changers out. In the book of John, chapter 2, it talks about this very thing. He went in the temple and he cast them out. And it reminded the disciples of a passage of scripture in Psalm that for the zealousness of his house. He addressed these issues. But here on the Mad Monday, he is angry. And he begins to cast these money changers out. I've often wondered, why in the world did they not resist him? I mean, he was one guy with a whip. why didn't they resist him? I think there was two reasons. One is they knew they were wrong. They knew they were guilty. They knew they were at fault. And I mean, if you're wrong, you kind of sometimes like, oh, okay, I know. And the second thing is, I think it was because of the fierceness of his wrath. I think he was ticked off, and it was time to take care of business. He wanted them to understand that his father's house was not a house for robbers and thieves, but it was a house for prayer. And they had made it a house for robbers and thieves. And may the Lord use this house as a house of prayer. May we always honor him with our prayer. May we always honor him with our praise. Jesus also that very day had gone, and he was a little bit hungry, so he went over, he saw a fig tree. And he went over to get some figs off this fig tree, and there were no figs on the fig tree, and so he cursed the fig tree. You know, the fig trees are supposed to produce figs when they have leaves. This fig tree had leaves, but it had no figs. It was a hypocrite. And so Jesus went over to this fig tree, and he cursed this fig tree, and he said, may no fruit ever come off you again. May you shrivel up and die. The next day, I call this Wicked Wednesday. No, what are we on Tuesday? Okay. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Teaching Tuesday. We haven't got to Wicked Wednesday yet. Teaching Tuesday. So he came with his disciples again near Jerusalem, and they saw the fig tree, and they said, Jesus, man, you cursed that fig tree yesterday, and here it is dead already, dried up, no moisture in it, brittle. And Jesus said, and he used that as a teaching point. And again, he was teaching on prayer. He said to them, if you have faith, you can say to this fig tree, be dried up and it'll dry up. Or you can tell this mountain, be moved and cast into the deepest sea, and it will be moved and cast into the deepest sea. And he says, if you have faith, you can move mountains with your faith. And so he was teaching his disciples about faith. He was teaching his disciples that no matter what it is, if you have faith in God and you have faith to believe him, that he will do marvelous things for you. Then he taught the Pharisees. He taught the Jewish leaders as well. Now, the Jewish leaders were not as teachable as the disciples. The Jewish leaders were proud. The Jewish leaders were arrogant. The Jewish leaders thought they had all the answers. And anytime Jesus had something to share with them, oftentimes it was in rebuke, because the Pharisees were the hypocrites. And Jesus was a little ticked off at them at times too. He called them snakes. He called them vipers. He called them whitewashed tombs. He called them a lot of things. Now, I want to explain something to you. Jesus was not a mad dude. Okay. That was not his demeanor. That was not who he was. When people approached him, that was not the person that he exemplified in his life. But there were times when he got picked off. And he did it righteously. He knew what to do when he got ticked off. Oftentimes when we get ticked off, we don't do the right thing. Let me ask you a question. How many times when you got angry, have you done the right thing? Once? Matt says once. Okay. Here's the thing. I don't think I've ever, when I've gotten angry, I don't think I've made one good choice. When I've gotten angry, I always said something that hurt somebody or did something that hurt someone. But Jesus, when he got angry, it was because of the zeal of the Father upon him. Well, maybe I did do, I don't know. Sometimes I get angry and I say things because I think people can do better. They make poor choices. And sometimes I'm wrong. All of this, when Jesus got angry, it was because of the love he had for these people. It wasn't because he was mad because they had offended him in some way. What he was mad at is they had offended his Father, and that he had love for them. He taught these Jewish leaders, and sometimes he would teach them parables. And oftentimes these parables in this week were directed toward these Jewish leaders. He talked about a vineyard that was rented out to some farmers. And the farmers, when the tenor, the owner of the land would come and try to get produce from these farmers, they would say, no, we're not going to give you any. It's ours. And as a matter of fact, they would kill some of these individuals that would come and try to get the produce for the landowner. And they knew that this was directed toward them because they had been responsible for killing the prophets throughout the years. Jesus told another parable about two sons. One son, the dad said to one son, I want you to go out and work for me in the field. And the son said, okay, I'll go, but he didn't go. The other son, he said, I want you to go out and work for me in the field. He said, no, I don't really want to go, Dad, but he went anyway. And so then he asked them, which son did the will of the Father? And they said, well, the second son did. And they knew that Jesus was talking about them, the Jews. He knew that they were talking about, that Jesus was talking about them because they had told God, we're going to do what you said, but they never did it. And yet there was a group of individuals, the Gentiles, that would come after them and say, at the beginning they said, no, we're not going, and then received Christ and followed through with what he said. So there was a teaching times on Tuesday. Another teaching time moment is when the disciples came out of the temple and they said, listen, Jesus, look at this temple, how beautiful it is. You remember the story? And Jesus said, well, I want to tell you something, that there's coming a time when there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And he began telling them about the end times and what to expect whenever these end times came. And we still learn from those things. We still learn from these teachings that Jesus gave us. So Tuesday is Teaching Tuesday, and then there's Wicked Wednesday. And I call this Wicked Wednesday because the chief priests are conspiring as to how to capture Jesus in his words. They're conspiring how to have him killed. And they realized they couldn't discredit him, so the next best thing was to kill him. But in order to kill him, they had to go through the Roman courts to do so. And say where they were having a meeting, a conspiracy, trying to figure out, how are we going to get Jesus? How are we going to get Jesus? How are we going to get Jesus? And then here in walks Judas. He says, hey, I got a plan. If you will give me some money, if you'll give me 30 pieces of silver, I will betray him and I will take you to him. And I was looking up this morning on how much 30 pieces of silver was worth, and it depended on how large the silver was. So it could be anywhere between $91 and $441. So Judas sold Jesus for a week's pay or a day's pay. Sold Jesus, that's it, the present day value, depending on which coin was used. And so Jesus, on this Wicked Wednesday, not only were the chief priests conspiring against Judas, but Jesus was conspiring about Jesus, but Judas was plotting against him as well. And then there was Maundy Thursday. Do you know what Maundy means? I didn't either. So what it means is actually a ceremony of foot washing. That's what it means. And you remember the story when Jesus had the disciples together that at the Passover, the evening, Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet. They had the Passover together. That's when they Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and we're actually going to be taking the Lord's Supper next week. He instituted the Lord's Supper, and he had a lot of things that he was teaching them during this event of the Passover. Also, that's the night that he went into Gethsemane and he began praying. He took his disciples with him. He had asked John, James, and Peter to come and pray with him, and they kept falling asleep. But he wrestled all night in prayer with the Lord because of the ordeal that he was going to have to face. And so he was praying, and Scripture says that as he was praying, it was as if great drops of blood were falling from him, and he was in agony over the issue of the cross, and he actually was able to win the battle of the cross that night in Gethsemane. Then there was the betrayal and the arrest. Then there was the trial, the mock trial, before the Jewish authorities. On Friday, Good Friday, there was the trial before Pilate, and then the crucifixion. As I had stated before, Jesus was well aware on Sunday that he would be executed on Friday. And sometimes we're so far removed from the event, that sometimes we have a hard time connecting emotionally with what was going on. We read the story, our minds are filled with the knowledge of the event, but sometimes we have a difficult time connecting with what really happened. I had a text from a lady in Mississippi last Thursday evening. And her son is on death row in Mississippi, Parchman Penitentiary. And she told me that she had heard from her son, and her son had gone through the courts, had made another appeal for another court hearing, and they denied him a court hearing. Which basically means that in the not too distant future, they're going to set a time of execution for him. And so he called me on Friday. I had been visiting him over the phone for the last about three years. And he now has a personal relationship with Jesus. He told me Friday that his first Easter after becoming a Christian, that he was struck with the realization of the price Jesus paid for him. He said he was beaten for me. His bones were shown. As we were visiting over the phone, he became silent, and with tears in his voice, he continued, "For me, of all people." He's on death row for a reason. He murdered a lady when he was 19 years old. He's now 48 years old. He's been living in a 8 by 10 cell for the last 24 years. In the last 4 years, they've allowed him to be out on the grounds a little bit. He told me about a year ago that he's seen the first sunrise he's seen in 25 years. And he tells me how good God is to him. He murdered a lady for a few dollars to buy drugs. And you may say, he doesn't deserve to be saved. He does not deserve to have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what he did. But the truth is, none of us deserve it. That's not the deal. The deal is not that we deserve it. The deal is that God paid the price for us. See, Jesus had no parole hearing. There was no stay of execution. And when he died for you. He died for me. Because here's the deal. We all have a death sentence upon us. Every single one of us have a death sentence upon us. But like this man, we can have a promise of life. Many of us try to hold on to this life and all that it has to offer. And it's hard for us to let go because we think that this life has the answers. We think that this life gives us the promise. We think that this life will give to us more than any other life can. But Jesus said those who hold on to this life will lose it. But those who lose this life and they grab hold of the life of Jesus, those are the ones who find life. This man in prison, I want to call him a young man. He's 48 years old now. He's not young any longer. I had shared Christ with him when he was a teenager. I remember we were on the trampoline. I shared Christ with him and he rejected it. And he's told me more than once, I wish I had listened when I was a teenager. He calls me his pastor. He said, and I told him we're coming to Mississippi April 1st. We're going to be there for a couple of weeks. He said, if I can work it out, can you come see me? I said, of course, I'll come see you. I love this guy. I love what God's done in his life. I love what God's doing in your lives. And if I get a little rough with you sometimes, it's because I love you. I love you. And I want you to get everything God has for you. The only way you're going to do that is to shed your old clothes. Shed the old man and say, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus. This young man told me a few years ago, I'm more free than I've ever been in my life. On death row, Parchman, Mississippi, 8x10 cell, I'm more free than I've ever been in my life. Without Christ, you're in bondage. Jesus wants to set you free. Would you allow Jesus to take control of your life? Would you be willing to lay your life down and say to him, Lord, my life is not what I want it to be. I want your life in me. Would you be willing to do that? We're going to have a time of invitation. And as we sing, if you would just give your heart to Jesus, you can come talk to me. You can come here at the altar and pray. But let somebody know. Let somebody know. I want to pray for you as we stand. I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to have this invitational song. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I pray for this, my family. I pray, oh Lord, for you to have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives. I thank you for the penalty that you paid on my behalf. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving this person in prison. And Lord, for others that you have reached out when there was no hope, Lord, you brought them home. Lord, I pray you do that the same for each one here today. If they do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, let today be the day that they trust you. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.
Generations and your family and your children
and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Let us learn to praise you in all things, good and bad, sideways, upside down, in all things.
Amen.
Let us put Pastor Brad's message today to work this week. Think about what Christ did for us. Knowing what was going to happen to him, he went ahead and did it.
Joy set before him.
You told us that he was born like us in all things, so he had choice. Thank you that he took the choice you wanted him to save us. Be with us all, those who are hurting, those who need miracles, those that just need to know you're around us always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance,
his countenance
on thee, and give thee peace. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Hoorah. You're welcome.